Camila and your family for the gift of being witnesses to this baptism. It is a beautiful reminder in this Advent season that God has received us and called us his own. The coming of Christ into the world was God's demonstration of love and solidarity, and God calls us into holy and sacred community with one another, and we shared that today. Advent is about waiting, us waiting together in the holy expectation of Christ's coming. It's part of our calendar rhythm in the Christian community. We typically think about Advent as the time that precedes the birth of the Christ child, but really, catch this, Advent is about how we are also waiting in expectation for when Christ comes again. In that regard, it is always Advent. Listen to the words of Christ in Matthew 24:36-44. About that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. This is Jesus talking, which, by the way, I've heard, and I'm going to check this out. I think it's true. did you know that Jesus did not refer to himself as the Son of God? The most way that Jesus identified himself and named himself was the Son of Man, the Son of Humanity. That means something. Can't go into that right now. For as in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, and one will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken, and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day the Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had only known in what part of the night the thief was coming, the owner would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Today's passage may feel a little odd to us. It doesn't fit what we might think is a good passage to kick off Advent. Why are we talking about thieves and floods and people disappearing? Why all of this apocalyptic talk? This foreshadowing of end times that are always kind of a bummer when we should be talking about shepherds and angels? It's a really good question. And I don't have a good answer, except to say that there are preachers all over the world that are asking this same question on this day. My friends Esau in Nairobi, Valerie in Haiti, Mario in the Dominican Republic, and Karen on Beacon Hill. This is the gospel reading for today's lectionary. The lectionary is a set of scripture readings that are used weekly in worship and for preaching. The texts are organized in this liturgical year, the liturgical calendar. And so as I read this week's passage, I was thinking, what were they thinking? How does this passage connect to Advent? And as I read and reread and contemplated, I'm not doing this passage because you would have never known. But I have this little thought in my head, it's like I have to follow the rules. It became pretty evident. Advent happens all the time. It's all the time. It's all year round. Like most things, it becomes pretty routine for us. I mean, we know what to do, right? We know what to do after Thanksgiving. Am I right? Whether or not you do it, you know what you want to do. It happens every year. We know it like the back of our hands. I was listening to a radio show yesterday, and a woman was talking about her goal every year is to get everything done by December 1st. House decorated, tree up, shopping, presents wrapped. That's her goal. How many of you know this person? How many of you are that person? I'd need to know. Charity! Are you done? Wow, that's awesome. We know it like the back of our hands, and people like Charity bug me. because I never get it right. I never get it right, and I've tried, and I've shared this many times over the times we've preached in Advent, is that I want to be more ready, but I'm typically not ready enough. This passage comes at a time that disrupts things for us, and it gets us to hear and think differently about what we think about Advent. Advent is about waiting in expectation of Christ's coming. You and I are Advent people all year long. Not just during this particular time. We are Advent people while we wait for Christ's return. We are Advent people, a waiting people, one that will wait well and with great purpose. We are to be people who know how to wait in expectation and what that waiting looks like over the last 2 weeks. And it's weird, but now that I'm thinking about lectionary, I get it. The last 2 weeks, what we were talking about was a church that sits idle. And God does not want us to be idle in the way that we wait. People who wait with an expectation that is active and actually has some skin in the game. Right? We are called to be Advent people with skin in the game. Matthew spends a lot of time on this topic in the entire book of Matthew and in other chapters as well as this one. He encourages this idea that the church should be the people that actually know how to wait. In his writing in this chapter and the ones that follow, he is writing in response to this question that comes at the beginning of Matthew 24, and it is this. The disciples ask, how will we know when the end of time is near? He doesn't answer that question, though, with a timeline. In fact, he basically says, no one knows, as if to say, don't worry about it. As if to say, don't worry about it, take care of what you need to do. Be about God's business in the world. In fact, you are asking the wrong question. He tells stories about people, and he divides these people into pretty much two categories, people who are faithful and people who are not. That was Matthew that did that, not Lena Thompson, okay? There are people who are wait and who wait faithfully, and people who do not wait faithfully. Those who are prepared and those who are not. Jesus, in this section of scripture, contrasts a worker who is faithful while the boss is gone and is rewarded with more responsibility, and an unfaithful worker who faces judgment. Jesus contrasts 10 wise bridesmaids who bought and were prepared with enough oil to accompany the groom with the foolish ones who were unprepared. Jesus contrasts workers who are faithful in managing 5 and 2 talents being rewarded with more responsibility with workers who were unfaithful in managing 1. So if you were able to take a look at the book of Matthew, and I urge you to do that, pull out your Bibles, read Matthew. That's where we're going to be spending a lot of our time in these weeks to come. Maybe the question isn't when will we know as much as it might be, who do you want us to be? And Jesus might answer, I want you to be found faithful. Stay awake and be doing the things that I've taught you. What does that faithful life look like? Would it surprise you to know that one of the most dominant rationales of judgment in both Old and New Testaments is how well we align with God's concern for how we treat one another, and especially how we treat those who are most vulnerable? God's justice and judgment show up together. In other words, one of the ways that God is looking for faithfulness in you and faithfulness in Lake Burien is pretty concrete. It's not an abstract idea. It's not just being faithful in the ways that we obviously know in our relationships, our families, our marriages, our jobs, but also faithful in how we treat those who are most vulnerable among us. And we know who they are. I'm not going to list them, but I think you know. In the very next chapter, for instance, after several more parables about the end times, Jesus says that when he comes, he will judge the nations by one standard, how they have treated those in need. Jesus contrasts the righteous and the faithful who feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, care for the sick, and visit the imprisoned with the unrighteous and unfaithful who do not do these things. I'm going to pause. For me, the what I would hope is kind of stirring in your own reflection is, how faithful are you? How does your individual life and the life of your family and the life of this congregation together, how do we align with what it means to be faithful in the way that Jesus just mapped it out for us. Whatever you do, Jesus says, you do for the least of these, whatever you do for the least of these that you have done for me. This is not a call to private morality, but an active and embodied concern for the sake of our neighbors. This is Advent. Christ has already come in the one-time event of his birth, but an entire Advent perspective reminds us that the birth and life and death and resurrection of God, of Christ, is forever relevant to our lives and to the world. Whether the world knows it or not, or believes it or not, or wants it or not, this is what we need. We need a really good embodied picture of what God looks like, and there's no better people than the Spirit-filled church to do that. We need some Advent folks, some Advent people, those who know the hope and the peace and the love and the joy of a God who sees us and knows us and who came to be with us. Several times, Matthew bids us to stay awake, to watch and to be prepared. Advent is about how we spend our time preparing and preparing our hearts to receive those who Christ taught us to care for and to defend and to protect and to feed and to clothe and to befriend. In this season, may we be found faithful in those ways, in all those ways that matter. It's not your tree, it's not your lights, it's not your cookies. That's not it. Even though I love cookies, Scott. But sometimes we can kind of get it twisted. That stuff is not what it's about. And I want to urge myself and urge you to put aside those things and consider what the call is to Advent people this morning. I'm grateful, therefore, for reminders, the tangible reminders that we can touch and taste, that God's love came to us. And with that, we're going to begin to move towards our sacrament of sharing the Lord's Supper together. Let me invite those who are serving to come forward. And y'all can meet me down there.